and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. I want to speak this evening about the subject of counsel for a little while before we have the Lord's Supper. Advice. Where to get counsel is the question that I want to try to answer using the Lord's Word. Some of you won't learn anything new today. It'll just be a reminder of what we should be doing. Some of you maybe are newer in the faith and haven't thought about this. It just seems the farther our country is getting away from the Lord, the more we're seeking counsel and advice in all the wrong places. And I want to just kind of maybe straighten that out and remind us on where to get counsel from, because I see even believers getting off track regarding the sources of their advice. Asaph says here, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, afterward receive me to glory. What assurance Asaph had of eternal life. Amen? This is the first of 11 straight psalms written by Asaph. If you like music, you like Asaph. He's one of your heroes. Those of you that know your Bible history know that Asaph was a choir director. He was a musician, a singer, and he was also a composer. And one of the great musicians of the Bible. And beginning in 73 all the way through 83, he is the author of these next 11 psalms. This is the first one in the order of the Bible. It's a psalm about Asaph's anguish. He's a musician. He's David's chief musician. He's the one who would then later go on and help Solomon with the music program and the newly built temple and the music there in the tabernacle. And boy, if you read the history of it, especially in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, what glorious, glorious music they had. As the psalmist said, make his praise glorious. If you're going to praise the Lord, make it glorious. And Asaph did that. But, you know, the rest of the time, Asaph was just a man, and you see his anguish in verses 1 through 16. We're not going to read it. He was just like so many of us. He just could not figure out why the wicked prospered, why they had such easy lives, why they seemed to get away with everything, and it was so hard for the person who was trying to serve the Lord. Now, I don't know what Asaph's issues were, but he was having some hard times in his life, and we don't know what they were. But in verse 17, his complete perspective changes when we read these words, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. And he comes to the realization that this life is the best they will ever have. And for us, this life is the worst we will ever have. And this all came to him, and we have Asaph's anguish in verses 1 through 16, Asaph's answer in verses 17 through 28. He said, until I went into the sanctuary, then understood I their end. We ought to go to church, you know that? I'm preaching to the choir, but because you're here tonight. But we ought to go to church. We ought to go all the time. There's things God reveals at church. There's different names for it throughout the Bible, and things were a little different in different dispensations, but whether it was the tabernacle or the temple or in Christ's day, the synagogues, and then eventually those would give way to what we call churches. God had meeting places for his people to go. And there would be a place in every one of those meeting places that was for the gathering of the people called a sanctuary, a sanctified place, set apart for people to gather in, where God would speak to them. God would reveal things to them. Even to this day, it says our Lord dwells in the midst of the candlesticks. And the candlesticks are the seven churches, the churches. The Lord dwells, and I certainly wouldn't want to make light of this, but in other words, it means the Lord hangs out at the church. It's a very special place to him on earth, whether it's small churches like ours or large churches like Adams, Casey's, or whatever. The Lord, the Bible says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And God speaks to quiet people in quiet places. He reveals things to them. And I think you all know this, but maybe somebody listening doesn't know this. And boy, we ought to go to church every chance we get. Every Wednesday night that we can, or every Thursday night we can, or whatever. In Acts 2, it says they went daily. It does. It really does. In verses 41 down through 47, it says they went daily to the temple. And what was the product? Revival. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And I know we're far from that, but you ought to go to church. And understanding can come. Why? Because the Lord's there. Then understood I their end. And he begins to talk to them. And he says, when I got to church, I was like one that woke up out of a dream. Verse 20. Everything started to make sense to me. And I realized how foolish I was, verse 22, when I was envying the wicked. Why should I envy them when this is the best they'll ever have? And then they die and spend eternity separated from God, from Christ forever. Why should I envy people like that? And Asaph, you know, as profound of a musician and servant of God he was, he just started getting overwhelmed with some foolish thoughts. And that can happen to us. And then he says in verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. God, I'm always with you. You're always holding my hand. And thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward receive me to glory. He concludes, I got to skip some of this for time, verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. You know, if you're the type that likes to write in your Bible, right next to verse 28, write down this reference, James 4 and verse 8. It's what I call a cross-reference. It's a great way to study the Bible. James 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He says here, but it is good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me to go to church, to the sanctuary, because God's there, And I'll be able to draw near to him. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. But I want you to notice here, verse number 24. Where do we get counsel from? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. How long? And afterwards receive me to glory. There's not a one of us that has to fear our future, because God will still be with us to give us counsel in our future. How long will he give us counsel? How long will God give us counsel? Turn back to Psalm 48 and verse 14. How long will God give us counsel? Well, this will just ease your mind right here. Has God ever led you wrong? When you've allowed God to lead you, has he ever led you wrong? How long will he lead us? What's his promise? These are what we call promises that we're reading tonight. Look at Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. That's a pretty good promise right there. That's a really good promise right there. He's not going to leave you a week before you die. He's not going to leave you a month before you die or a year before you die and say, now you're on your own for the rest of this. It says, he will be our guide. We're talking about where to find counsel. He, God, will be our guide even unto death. I hope some of this is going to make sense here a little bit later when I get to where I'm going, because there's some believers that aren't practicing this. He, God, will be our guide even unto death. Now, this is conditional. Turn back to Psalm 25 right now, Psalm 25 and verse 9, and here's the condition, and here's where the problems start for believers. Psalm 25 and verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. He'll guide us. He'll guide us to the day of our death and never lead us wrong once. But you got to be meek. He doesn't guide proud people. We've got to be humble. You've got to be humble enough the rest of your life. I have to be humble enough the rest of my life to constantly be saying, God, I need you. I need you to help. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all your ways. Till how long? Till death. What a promise. This should give us assurance tonight. Did you know you can live a life without making mistakes? I know that sounds profound, almost unreal, but it's true. You and I, if we would walk with God, can lead a life without making mistakes. I didn't say without going through trials or tribulations or valleys of darkness that God might lead us through. But I mean that we can have a 100% report card of making correct decisions in our lives if we'll let the Lord guide us and get our counsel from him. Just think of that. You young people have such an advantage over some in this room who are adults, because some adults in this room made choices back when they were your age that were not guided by the counsel of God, and to this day, they still bear the consequences of those choices. And those have made their lives harder. You young people can walk with God and have an excellent spirit and an excellent report at the end of your life and not have all kinds of consequences and extra weights you got to carry around because you did this or this or this and you never asked the Lord about it. Did you ever see, for instance, somebody do something financially and they never asked the Lord? And that can be, you want a heavy life, man, get under the load of a lot of debt. You can get into debt like that. But you sure can't get out of it like that. But you know, the Lord, if you got the Lord in on your financial decisions, he could guide you through all those landmines, and you could make decision after decision after decision that's correct, and the mammon of unrighteousness, Jesus said, could become your friend in life, not your enemy that's opposing you. Dr. Henry Morris is with the Lord, but he wrote this about counsel. He said, one of the marks of these latter days is a great proliferation of counseling needs and services. Not only have the number of professional psychologists and psychiatrists multiplied, but also those of investment counselors, guidance counselors, marriage counselors, and every other variety. No doubt some of us need occasional advice from wise counselors. But where should one go to get counsel? Not to a non-Christian counselor. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Isaiah 30, verse 1 says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. The tenets of humanism, especially the supposed animal ancestry of mankind, have infected the secular psychological professions more than almost any other, and counsel based on such a foundation can be devastating. And he touches a nerve there where it seems to me like many people, even in churches like ours, really are functional humanists. They're born again. They're believers. They got their salvation nailed down, but they're constantly looking to humans for advice or counsel. Sometimes even to a fault, looking to pastors. Where do we get this counsel from that Asaph talked about? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. There's the answer. Three-letter word, thy counsel. You see, God was around helping people long before psychologists ever existed, or professors at universities, or psychiatrists. God was helping people. God was speaking to people. God was giving counsel to the meek and helping them live lives of just right decision after right decision after right decision. Now, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 9 and verse 6, and I just want to give you three, and I'm sure any one of you could preach this message probably at this stage in your Christian life, unless you're brand new. But I'd like to hammer this home because this is not being practiced. I want you to notice, number one, from Christ. From Christ. Tonight, where to get counsel? Number one, from Christ. Isaiah 9:6, we usually use this as a Christmas verse, but this thing is packed. You could preach on this for a month. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want you to notice the word counselor in the middle of this verse, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, with a capital C. See, praise God, he's our Savior, but he's a whole lot more than that. He is our counselor, and I want to encourage you, whenever you need advice, which is almost every day in either small matters or big matters in our lives, to go to Christ first. Go to Christ. Speak to Jesus Christ. Have a personal relationship with Christ. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about walking in the Lord. I'm talking about continuing to have communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ. We've kind of reduced him to a Bible character. You know, it says that I don't know if it's the last days or not, but just in the degeneracy of man, as man degenerates, and the whole scope of his degeneration is laid out for us in Romans 1. It says, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And that's what humanism is, and that's how America has become, where we worship more the creature, that is man, than the Creator. And sometimes we do not understand even the abilities of our own Savior. I want to show you in this matter the abilities of our Savior. He's the counselor. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Here is the abilities of Christ in one verse. It says this, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you see the ability? You know what faith is? Faith is confidence in someone else and their abilities. That's what faith is. We're supposed to walk by faith. Faith is confidence in someone else and their abilities. You get on an airplane, you put your confidence in the pilot and his ability to fly the plane. That's faith. You want to get saved, you put your confidence in Jesus Christ and his ability to save you. You can't save yourself. But Jesus can do a whole lot more than just save us. And whether we understand this or not, this verse right here, verse 3 says that in Christ, in whom are hid, notice, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, he knows a lot. All wisdom can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. All knowledge can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's your Savior. He is your counselor. And he knows everything. He knows it all. Not only does he know it all, he made it all. Back in chapter 1 and verse number 16, for by him were all things created. Later on, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. By the way, the main word in the book of Colossians is all. Just go through it sometimes, circle it. All. Christ has all. There's nothing you're facing Christ doesn't know, and that he doesn't know exactly what to do for you and exactly what to tell you. Listen, let me just bring this down to what I'm trying to say today. If you put Christ right here, and you piled up all the advice books in the world that have ever been written, Christ knows more than all those books combined. He can save you a lot of money on books. Right? If you put Christ here, and you put all the professors of all the universities over here in a crowd, Jesus Christ knows more than all the professors combined. That's what I'm saying tonight. If you put Christ right here, and you put all the psychologists that have ever existed in a big crowd right over here, Jesus Christ by far knows more than all of them combined. If you put Jesus Christ right here, and you put all the psychiatrists that have ever earned their degrees, and you put all the psychiatrists of all the world over here together, Jesus Christ by far knows more than all the psychiatrists. The contest isn't even close. Listen, if you put Christ right here and all the good pastors of the world over here, all of them, Christ knows more than all these pastors combined. It's not even close. Not even close. Put Christ right here. I know you're going to laugh at this, but it's not really funny. Put all the psychics over here. Every psychic. Empty out Lilydale, put them all here. All the psychics all over the world that have ever lived, Jesus knows more than all of them put together. He knows more. Where should we start? I had a man years ago, this is going back 20 years ago, didn't know whatever became of him. He said, Pastor, he says, I need some help paying my phone bill. I said, wow, okay, well. You know, he had a little benevolence money. I said, what's the deal? He says, I got a phone bill. I said, $190 for the last month. Now, this is like 20 years ago. All right? Today, that'd be like $500. What in the Sam Hill did you spend $190 on your phone bill last month? He said, psychics. Psychics? He said, you're a believer in Christ. I said, what possessed you to call psychics for? You know what his answer was? I was just looking for some direction. Serious as a heart attack. Now, that's an extreme. But how many of us are running to books, running to counselors, reading this, reading that, watching Oprah. And all this basically humanistic, hidden, garbed humanism. Trying to figure it out. When all the time Jesus Christ knows more than all of them put together. And the very first thought in our minds should be, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct our paths. That's a promise. That's a promise from a God who cannot lie. It is impossible that God should lie. And if you ask God to guide you, he will. He's our counselor with a capital C. Counselor. Where do we get counsel from? We get counsel from Jesus Christ. You need to study everything Christ ever said. You need to observe everything Christ ever did. And you need to talk to Christ constantly throughout every normal day of your life. We don't need to consult the astrological charts to see how our stars are lining up. You don't need to see what the New Year's prognosticators are saying about the next year. We've got Christ. We've got Christ. Number two, from the Holy Spirit. In John 16 and verse number 13, Jesus said, just before he left, the night before he was crucified, he gave the greatest discourse on the Holy Ghost in the whole Bible, John 14, 15, and 16, just before his arrest. And he says to his disciples in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear from God the Father, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. In Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. He is called by Jesus the Spirit of truth. He has told us by the Lord Jesus Christ that he will guide us into all truth. He'll guide us. We're talking about getting counsel tonight. Question, though, do you speak to the Holy Spirit? I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm serious. Do you speak to Christ? Do you speak to the Holy Spirit? Do you have a conversation? 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Do you have communion with the Holy Spirit? Do you have communion with the Holy Ghost? Do you talk to the Holy Ghost? Pastor, what do you call him? Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. And you do it with a lot of reverence and with a lot of respect. See, he lives inside of you. You have a built-in guidance counselor. In your body, I know you can't see him, but in this body is the Holy Ghost. He came in, he's been in there for 41 years, and he's never coming out. He'll be with you forever, Jesus said. He is a built-in guidance counselor who knows everything. So I got Jesus, my Savior and my counselor, he knows everything. I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me, he knows everything. And I am supposed to be in communion with the Holy Ghost, my built-in guidance counselor. Back in chapter 14 and verse 17, Jesus again calls him the second time, the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth. That's his name. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, what's the next word? All things. There's nothing he can't teach you. Listen, I believe that if you knew nothing about God, and you were stuck out on a marooned on an island somewhere, and somehow a Bible fell in your lap, you could learn everything you needed to know about God just from you and that Bible and the Holy Ghost. You need to be having communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have communion with the Holy Ghost. And you, if you say, don't say, Pastor, I've never heard that before. It doesn't matter. Just do it anyways. The Holy Ghost did not come inside of you just so you could ignore him the rest of your life. I've said it so many times. He didn't come inside of you because he just didn't have anywhere else to go. The last place the Holy Ghost wants to live is inside of a human being. It's the worst place on earth. It's the most corrupt, filthiest place on earth is inside of us. But he came to help us. He came to help us. Are you having communion with the Holy Ghost? Now, last of all, you say, okay, I'm asking the Lord Jesus Christ to guide me. We're talking about counsel and advice tonight. I'm asking the Lord Jesus for advice. I'm asking the Holy Spirit for advice. But how do I know if it's really His voice I'm hearing about these day-by-day decisions that I'm making in my life? How do I really know that? Number three is the Bible. Where should we get counsel from? Number one, Christ. Number two, the Holy Ghost. Number three, the Bible. Listen, this is very important. I'm getting near the end here. If you went up to one of my kids, or if somebody went up to one of my kids and said this to them, your dad said I should just stay home and watch preachers on the television and listen to the radio. Preachers and not go to church. That's what your dad said. What would my kids say? My kids would say, my dad would never say that to you. Why? Because they know my word. Why? They have to grow up with me. My kids, you ever feel sorry for my kids? I'm the only father they've ever had. I'm the only pastor they've ever had. So they get it, you know, coming and going. But by now, they are experts on my word. No matter what the sermon, they know what I'm going to say next. They know my word. So you can't pull one over on them. You see, if you're going to discern the word of Christ and the word of the Holy Ghost, you got to know His book. You got to know the Bible. And brethren, if you're going to get counsel for your life and advice, and you teenagers, you got to get off the Twitter and the Facebook and the texting and all that. You got to get your Bibles open. And you're not wasting your time, man. Time spent in preparation is not wasted time. You got to read through the Bible and start over, read through it again, start over, read through it again, start over, read through it again. And you're not wasting your time because you're picking up a little bit every time you go through, and you're picking up and you're picking up and you're picking up and you're picking up. And pretty soon nobody's going to pull one over on you. Not even the devil. He speaks to us too, you know. Why hath Satan filled thine heart, Peter? Or Ananias? Lie to the Holy Ghost. He speaks too. But the more you know the Bible, the more you know when you ask Christ, Lord, show me, what should I do? The Lord's going to lead you by a scripture or a verse or a principle or a story from the Bible. He's going to guide you. And when He speaks to you, you're going to discern His voice because it's going to be in line with the scriptures. I know a lawyer by the name of David Gibbs. Some of you know him too. You've heard him preach. He's not a pastor or a preacher, but he's one of the most powerful preachers I've ever known. He's a lawyer. He reads through the Bible once a month. Busy as he is, he says it takes him 45 minutes every morning, 45 minutes every night, once a month, reads through the Bible. Let me tell you something. You're not going to pull one over on David Gibbs. All right? You're not going to pull one over on him. You're not going to say, well, God told me to blah, 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 blah. If it's not in line with the scriptures, he's going to say, God didn't tell you that. Because he's so familiar with the Bible. Isaiah said in Isaiah 2 and verse 5, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's walk in the light of the Lord. You know what I want to do as a pastor in your life? I want to work myself out of a job. I do. I want to work myself out of a job. I want to get every one of you in this room to so know Christ, so know the Holy Spirit, so know the Bible, that you go from needing me to helping me. Do you ever think about it? I don't have a pastor. Did you ever think about that? I haven't had a pastor in 27 years. But I got a pastor. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And he's sufficient. Do you realize in 27 years I've never called anyone for advice? Never. I've never had to call somebody and say, I don't know what to do. Where do I get the advice from? The counsel from? The Bible? The Holy Spirit? The Lord Jesus Christ? And I have the confidence he will continue to guide me till my death. Have I always done things right? No, there's things I forgot to ask him about. Just went off and did it. And then I had to redo it or find out it wasn't the right thing. You know, that's the way you can be too. You can get to the point where you so know Christ, you so know the Holy Spirit, and some of you are there already. You so know your Bibles that you know what to do. I've read through the book of Proverbs over 100 times in my life. Okay. What a book. Man, almost anything in life, it's right there. Here's what you do. You don't even have to pray about it. Right there. Finances, marriage, raising your kids, business principles, whatever. It's all in there. And the thing is, when the Lord saved me and began his project on me, I was a basket case. I was an emotional wreck. I came out of a bizarre upbringing, a dysfunctional home. And I had to find a whole lot of help just for the inside of me so I could live with myself, let alone trying to pastor and lead other people. I had these things going on all fronts in my life. But I just stayed close to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, and just kept reading the Word and 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 studying. And then when I asked the Holy Ghost, see, if you get the Word of God, young people, listen, if you get the Word of God in your mind and in your heart and Bible stories and even Chronicles, you know, and other parts of the Bible, you say, what does this guy do this? What do I got to know all this for? And you just read it and read it and read it because God said read it. Then down the road in your life, you're going to say, oh, Holy Spirit, what can I do? And he's going to have a tool in your life that he can reach back into and said, you remember when you read this 7 years ago? This is what you need now. But you're putting yourself at a tremendous disadvantage of getting counsel from God if you do not know the Bible. Got to be Bible students. Got to know Christ. Got to know the Holy Spirit. It's okay to lean on other human beings, but boy, I'm getting a little bit tired of some of these Christians running out and buying all the latest books on this, that, and the other, and all the latest self-help stuffs, and you know, what this latest Christian psychologist is saying, or Christian psychiatrist is saying, or famous preacher saying like that, and so on. And all the time, Jesus is being ignored. The counselor knows all more than all of them combined. Brethren, our help isn't in pastors or professors or professionals or psychiatrists or psychologists or pamphlets or psychics. It's in the Lord. He was helping people long before any of this existed. Any of it. And I'm not the one going to pieces. The Lord has helped me. And the Lord has shown me things. Even being a pastor, I've never done this before. So I just had to say, Lord, what's the next step here? What do we do? What's the next? What's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? Oh, I've called for advice, lawyers, architects, and so on and so forth, when you're putting up buildings or parking lots or whatever. Yeah, sure, I'm not talking about that. But this walk we have with the Lord, Christ is enough. He's enough. The Holy Spirit's enough. The Bible's enough to get our counsel from. Like, it's just to bow our heads and have a little prayer time. Brother Justin's going to come. Kathy, you're going to have some music here for the Lord's Supper. How's she going to do it?